God says, I formed you in the heavens, brought you to earth to represent my kingdom. Don't copy the cultures of this earth. You must represent heaven and portray the culture of heaven.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
All right, so we will continue with our series of lessons on 12 revelations of supernatural living. We are on the second revelation, and it is the revelation on the preciousness of souls, that people are precious to God. People are what? So be careful how you treat people. People are precious. All 7.8 billion of us, every single one of us, is precious to God. You are very, very precious. Would you please do me a favor? Raise your right hand and say this after me. I am precious. Come on, say like you mean it. I am precious to God Almighty. Amen. People may not like you, but God does. He likes you. Amen. And today, we're going to look at why is it that you, why are human beings so precious to God? Why is every single one of us precious to God? And we are going to begin by, first of all, looking at God's vision plan. God had a plan from the beginning. Before you were born, before he created everything, he had a plan. And he tells us in his word. He tells us in his word. You are precious. I can't say enough of it. I said you are precious. Every single being. People may have come out of rape, but you are precious to God. The Bible says before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. God saw you. David had these words to say, whilst I was being made in the earth. In other words, when God's hand, like a potter, was in the clay molding you, the scripture says he saw you. He saw you. He what? Saw you. You are precious. I don't care how many people at your workplace are just saying all kinds of nasty things to you. You are precious to God. You may not be precious to the company, but you are precious to God. Amen. So we're going to look at God's vision plan. And I need you to follow me very carefully, because what I'm about to teach you has nothing to do with Christianity. Here we don't do Christianity. We do kingdom. Is that okay? All right. So turn with me, first of all, to the book of Genesis chapter 1. We are looking at God's vision plan. God had a plan. God created from the beginning two domains or two territories. The book of Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at the first verse. If you wouldn't mind, please do me a favor and let's all read from the screen. In the beginning, God created what? And the? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Please notice, he created the? And the? So how many domains or territories did God create? Two of them. And what are those two? Heaven and earth. Awesome. Now, whatever scientists say, they did not create it. They are only discovering what God has already made. Are you guys with me? We understand that there are several galaxies and there are several planets. You all remember that some years ago, scientists told us how many planets did we have? Nine. Now they have discovered more. That is why you should know that they don't create them. They only look for them. So we have the Earth. We have Mars. We have, and they visited all these places and say there is no life on them. But when God created the heavens and the earth, he wanted something to happen on the earth. And that is the second statement I would like to make. Please notice, God created the heavens and the earth for the purpose of life. He wanted life in heaven. He wanted life on earth. All right? God created the heavens and the earth, and he wanted it to be inhabited. The prophet Isaiah reminds us of this truth in the 45th chapter and verse 18. Turn with me in your Bibles. The book of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. For this is what the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, the God who formed the earth and made it. Who formed the earth and made it? Who formed the earth and made it? So it didn't come out of a bung. God made it. I don't see how TVs and cars have manufacturers and somebody wants to tell me the earth does not have it. There's so much design on earth, mountains, valleys. How come that the rivers are kept at bay? What is it that keeps them there? So the scripture says God created two domains, the heavens and the earth. He wanted the heavens and the earth to be inhabited. He didn't want to leave it as a wasteland. Now, let's continue to look at God's plan. The heavens belongs to God, but the earth belongs to human beings. David, in Psalms 115, verse 16, said these words, "The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the human race." The heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the... So who lives in heaven? God. All the spirit beings live in heaven. But the earth is given to human beings. So Satan is illegal on earth. He's not supposed to live here. Either you enforce it, or Satan just bullies you. But we are not going to allow that to happen. So number one, God created two domains, heaven and earth. He decided that these domains has to be inhabited. It's not going to be waste. Then he determines that he's going to stay in heaven, but on earth, he's going to put human beings. Are you guys following me? We're looking at God's vision plan. Heaven is his throne. The earth, he calls it his footstool or his colony. The book of Acts chapter 7, I chose to read it from the New Testament, but the same verse occurs in the book of Isaiah 66. All right? Acts chapter 7. Let's look at the 49th verse, if you're with me. And I'm reading all these verses from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, "Heaven is my throne." Heaven is his whose throne? "And the earth, my footstool. What sort of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what will be my resting place?" So number one, we find that he creates two domains, heaven and earth. There's a reason for which I'm trying to repeat, because I want to make sure you get it. Are you with me? He creates two domains, heaven and earth. He decides that these domains has to be inhabited. It's not going to be empty like Pluto and the other places. He's going to put life there. He decides that heaven is where he's going to be. The earth he's given to all of us, human beings. All right? Then he goes on and then he reminds us that heaven is his throne. But the earth is his what? He said, "Heaven is my throne." A throne always has a seat, because that is where the king sits. The earth here is where his foot what? It is an imagery. It's a language God is saying. The seat of government, the seat of the throne is where the main kingdom is. But where his foot rests is the colony of that kingdom. Are you guys with me? He created two domains, heaven and earth. And he says these two places has to be inhabited. He chose to stay in heaven. And he put you and I here on earth. Then he says, heaven is where the seat of his government is, the original kingdom. But earth is the place where he extends his authority, or it becomes his colony. Are you guys with me? Yes. Now let me try and explain something to you. lose consciousness of democracy, okay? Because the Bible is about a king, it's about his kingdom. In a kingdom, most kings want to extend their power. So they conquer places. God did not conquer the earth. He made it. Kings are not voted. They are always born. God was not born. I'm trying to show you the differences between the kingdom of God and that of the earth. Are you guys with me? God was not what? Born. He made all things. So by rights, he is a king. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my colony. Say that with me. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my awesome. The next thing I want you to look at is from the book of Psalms 24, verse 1. Psalms 24, verse 1. The earth and everything in it. Pause. What are the things in the earth? No. What is everything? So start with yourself. You are in it. What else is in it? What else? So humans, animals. Now, that one we all know. What I want you to see is that it has Russia in it. It has America in it. He owns everything. He says, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, the people, that is a kingdom language. In a democracy, President Biden doesn't own you. Does he own you? But in kingdom concepts, the king owns the people. That is why we call him Lord, landlord. He owns the land. He owns the people. Are you following me? So he created two domains, heaven and earth. He decided these domains has to be inhabited. He stays in heaven. He gives the earth to the sons of men who he creates. And he says to them, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. And he reminds us that he owns us. That thing has not gotten into the psyche of Christians. We think we own ourselves. Paul the Apostle puts it this way. He said, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You are not your own. You are not your own. You're not your own. Quit acting like you're all that. You are not your own, God says. You belong to him. All right. Let's keep making our case. Human beings. All 7.8 billion of us, we are strangers on earth. You are a stranger. I don't care which country you belong to and claim your citizenship. You are a stranger. Why? Because any king who puts people in a colony, the people originally came from the kingdom. They came from the original kingdom. Then they are sent to live in their colony. So notice what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians 3:20. Come on, let's all read it. Ready, read. But our citizenship is in heaven. Pause right there. Where is your citizenship? Is it in the United States? Is it in some other country? So he's saying that all the citizenships we have on earth are natural. Jesus tells Brother Nick, you all remember Nicodemus? He says, except a man is born, because he reminds us citizenship in heaven is by birth, but it is the birth through the Holy Spirit. So quit acting like you're going to spend eternity on earth. You are a stranger here. You are passing through. You have been placed here by the king, and there's a purpose. And let's find out if you are living it. So the king places people in that territory. So notice in the book of John chapter 17 when Jesus is praying for the disciples. Let's look at the 11th verse. What did Jesus say in John chapter 17 verse 11? Ready, read with me. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be as one as we are. So where are we? We are in the world, right? He says, I'm no longer in the world, but they, you and I, we are still in the 16th verse, same chapter, John 17. Read with me. Does it sound confusing? He says we are in it, but we are not of it. Why? Because we are immigrants. He says we are here, but our citizenship. We are here, but our citizenship is what? So live like it and act like it. Have you gone into immigrant communities? Even though they live in this country, they seem to still live by their culture. Why? Because the culture is in them. God says, I formed you in the heavens, brought you to earth to represent my kingdom. Don't copy the cultures of this earth. You must represent heaven and portray the culture of heaven. You are a prototype of the kingdom of God on earth. So now let's look at the picture that is being painted. What is the picture? A king sends some of his citizens to live in a foreign land. And they are there for the purpose of ushering in the purpose of the king. Live by his culture and his values. And let the colony look like the original kingdom. What is that called in history? It's called colonization. Nobody should ever tell me that colonization began with humans. It was God's original idea. Human beings may have destroyed it. We may have done it the wrong way, but it originated with God. Are you with me? So let me define colonization for you. Colonization involves citizens of one country inhabiting a foreign territory to influence that territory with a king's will, his culture, values of the native country. Did you get it? I think we already described it, so you don't need all that lengthy definition. You are from a different place. You are living in another place. You are there not on your own because the king has sent you. You were there to represent the king. So the Bible says we are ambassadors. In other words, we don't make laws of our own. We only enact what the king has already what? Enacted. I found it very interesting that a soldier, a U.S. soldier, did something in Russia and they were chasing him. And as soon as he entered the embassy, they could not go for him. Because even though the embassy is still in Russia, that territory still belongs to the government of the United States. That's how powerful the concept of kingdoms are. God says, yes, you live in this land, but as long as you represent my kingdom, you live by the laws of my kingdom. Pastor, so are you teaching us how to break the laws? No. Whenever the laws of men are opposite to the laws of God, we choose to live by the laws of God, not the laws of men. It was the apostles who said, we ought to obey God rather than what? Men. Are you guys following me? So have you seen God's plan? His plan was a plan of what? Colonization. He wants to colonize the earth with heaven. Who is he going to use? Don't say us. Point to yourself. Who is he going to use? Me. Me. You. So if you choose not to do it, can God go through with his plan? Can he? If I send you to go to Frederick downtown to do something for me, and you are the only one who can do it because you carry a physical body, I'm a spirit, so I can come into that realm. And when you get there, because you heard that there was a party, you forgot about yourself and forgot about what you're supposed to do. And so you didn't do the work you're supposed to do. Can I just show up and do it myself? No. The reason is that that place, I've already said, heaven is mine, is the place I'm supposed to be. The earth, I have given it to the sons of men, humans. So that's not my domain. But I want my power, my authority to be felt in that domain. And the only way it can be, it is through humans. Are you guys with me? This is why you are precious to God and you are precious to Satan. Because Satan also needs you to become the expression of who he is on earth. The same way God needs you. So humans, we are some powerful beings. We're not some ordinary people. And here on earth, you are either in the kingdom of God or you are in the kingdom of Satan. You can't be in the middle. It doesn't happen. Did you get that? So why are you on earth? Yes, God can do anything, but when God speaks, he literally limits himself. What did he say? I'll come to that verse. He said that, and God said, let us make what? Man, mankind, humans, you, in his image. And let them have their dominion. Where? In heaven? Where? On earth. So when Jesus got ready to come to earth, he had to take on a body. Else he couldn't come. When Satan got ready to go and challenge mankind, he had to use a body, that of the serpent. Because whenever God speaks, it becomes what? Law. So what are some of the things that are needed for colonization to occur? There must be a king who has a desire to extend his rule. Secondly, there must be a territory that belongs to the king. Thirdly, there must be citizenry, there must be people, you and I, who are willing to live in the foreign land and bring in. And finally, these citizens must be able to influence the territory for the king. This is why you are precious to God. Did you get that? So any human being who is living on earth for themselves, you missed it. You are here for him. And you are here to usher his kingdom on earth. So he told the disciples, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in, hallowed be thy name. Next, thy kingdom come. That's a statement of colonization. Let the kingdom come. I will show you how it does. Amen. When a kingdom expands, it is called colonization. The goal is to expand his heavenly rule. God wants to bring his heavenly rule where? Where? And it has to begin in the human heart. When Jesus arrived on earth, his first public statement is very crucial to this idea of colonization. Read with me from the book of Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at two verses in the book of Matthew. Are you ready? All right, Matthew 4, verse 17 and verse 23. Now, Jesus had come in. He got baptized by John the Baptist. And now he's beginning his ministry. Read. Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Please don't get confused. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is the same thing. All right? Suppose I am a king. Me, if I am a king. But I live in Woodsboro, Maryland. I live in Frederick, right? Not in Woodsboro. But suppose I live here. Then you can call my kingdom the kingdom of what? Neil. But at the same time, you can refer to that kingdom as the kingdom of what? Woodsboro. It's one and the same. One defines who rules it. The other one defines the territory that describes it. Are you guys with me? So whenever you read the Bible and see kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, please don't mess around. It's the same thing he's referring. One is just defining the territory. The other one is defining the ruler. Are you with me? So from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Where was it? Because the king himself has arrived. He's a king. Remember when he was born, what did the wise men say? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For them, it was the king of the Jews, but he was the king of the world. Because when he stood before Pontius Pilate, you all remember when Jesus was arrested, right? We're in the Palm Sunday, going to the Passion Week. When Jesus was arrested, who were the people who arrested him the first time? It was the religious leaders. And when they took him there, he didn't say one word. Because kings don't talk to mere mortals. But when he was brought before Pontius Pilate, and he was dealing with another king, he began to speak. When you read the Bible, pay attention. The Bible is not a religious book. This is a political book. Not the politics of the world, but that of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you guys with me? All right, let's read verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Come on, go with me. Read. Now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among. What was Jesus preaching? The good news of the kingdom of God. What are we preaching these days? Prosperity. Matthew chapter 6. Look at the 10th verse. Are you in verse 10? Matthew chapter 6. Read. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in. Because whenever the citizens of the original kingdom are in the colony, they usher in the will of their king. I was born in a country that used to be a colony of Great Britain. So when you go back, even though we have gained independence from Great Britain so many years, we still wear three-piece suit in 110-degree temperature. Because the original kingdom brought it, and we have learned it. That's supposed to be the impact. We have to impact the world in such a way that when we are not there, they still do it the way heaven does it. Not the fact that we are copying the world. The world must what? Copy us. But there's a way it has to be done. Jesus said the way to impact them is by loving them. Reminding them that they are as precious as you. Because it's only in the kingdom of God that the people in the kingdom are not subjects, but we are family. The Bible called Jesus our big brother. We are co-heirs. We are what? Family. Amen. Your kingdom, how is it going to come? Matthew chapter 12. Look at the 28th verse. Please read with me. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Did you see that? This is Jesus speaking. He said, anytime demonic powers are driven from a territory, it is an indication that another kingdom has arrived. And if it is me, Jesus, the king, doing it, then the kingdom has come upon you. Are you with me? Jesus said that colonization of the earth was his purpose. If that was his purpose, why has Christianity become our purpose? Look there with me. Luke chapter 4. Let's look at verse 43. Please read with me. Luke 4:43. But he said to them, it is necessary for me to proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because I was sent for this purpose. Read your Bible. Don't let people tell you otherwise. Read your Bible. Paul the Apostle, I'm closing, affirms this truth also in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. That colonization is God's original idea.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, Our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.